At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Scott Saunders, coming back to you after a bit of time away. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say this first of all. We are 12 seconds into this podcast, but the first thing I wanted to say here was thank you all so much for all of your kind words, all of your messages, everything that I've received, whether that's on Twitter or X, Instagram, TikTok, email even over the past two months. It's been such a difficult time, but I felt like enough. So many people have got in touch with me, honestly, to just share their thoughts and their love and everything for not only myself but for the family and for Rob, my colleague and good friend. Obviously, I'm sure if you've been watching or listening to the podcast for any amount of time, and you especially recently wondering where the podcast is, I did run over everything around the situation with the Promised Land and with the such unfortunate and awful news of Rob's passing in July. And look, I think I needed some time. Let's just say that I needed some time. So you're going to have to stick with me as I try and process the thoughts that are going through my head and like trying to make them into something cohesive and that actually makes sense. But I wanted to jump on and do another podcast now, because obviously there's a new season starting for Manchester United on Saturday. Community Shield against Man City preseason has essentially come and gone, with a lot of the same old problems that United have been suffering, same old frustrations in transfer windows, all of this kind of business. But, you know, I've been sitting there thinking for a little while about what to do ahead of the new season, given obviously the dynamic of this podcast has been myself and Rob talking all things United for 3-4 years. I really forget how long it is. My concept of time is really, really bad. But obviously, with the loss of Rob, it's been such a difficult process to run through with this, because the podcast was Rob and me, and you know, it's different with me sitting here. It's just completely different, and it's weird for me. I'm sure it might be weird for anybody listening or watching this as well. But look, the last few weeks have been difficult. But I wanted to provide an update on where I stand, my thoughts on everything around this, just on the eve of the new season. So consider today's show me speaking about, like, I never like to get too personal on social media, whether that's on any of my social platforms or even on podcasts. But sometimes, I mean, you know, especially after I did the last episode, the amount of people, the amount of love and the amount of support that I received from that, from people who listen, people who didn't even really listen to the podcast that maybe know me or know Rob. It's been so heartwarming to receive so many messages from so many people, just showing support, sending their love. And, you know, I'll get back into that in a second, but I just wanted to first of all talk about Rob a little bit more, because last month in July I attended his funeral. I met his family, his wife, his kids, his friends, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that I met that day for making me feel so incredibly welcome. You know, it these situations are never easy, always difficult. But the love that I felt that day all around that room was amazing. It was quite weird in a sense, given I didn't really actually know anybody that I was meeting that day. But the way that Rob used to champion the podcast that we did meant that a lot of people knew me, and it was there's a smile on my face now. But it was so lovely to meet everybody. Obviously, in the circumstances, they're terrible. But the communication that I've had with everybody from that day and ever since has been amazing. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that I spoke to that day, and everybody that has sent me messages on social. And I think that the thing that I've taken in this, all of this time to reflect on everything that's happened, is that I think people want me to continue. So I guess this is me saying I'm going to continue. And look, I don't know how this is going to form. I don't know what it's going to look like. This today, I just completely consider as a thought dump of like everything that I've been feeling over the past few weeks. I have so many people to thank, and I'm so grateful for every message that I've received and every conversation that I've had with so many different people. So does that make sense? Many different people. Let's just say that. Heartwarming. And it's like I asked on the last show for people to get in touch and let me know what you wanted me to do with this. And I think the overwhelming thing, and what I realized on the day that I met Rob's family and friends, was that people really liked this. And it's always difficult to grasp, you know, it's always difficult to grasp just through social media and through online stuff that you post, just how far reaching things like a simple podcast conversation over StreamYard, as we use, can be so far reaching and so liked and needed for people. Now Rob was like there were a lot of jokes made on the day and I made the joke a few times myself. I'd be able to come on and ask Rob a question, and then we'd go off, and then they would kind of go down various different routes. And Rob did a lot of the talking, and I was just happy to wait there and interject and, you know, maybe challenge him in some situations and go down some thought processes myself. But like, Rob taught me so much. I knew him for 3-4 years, and made me a better podcaster, a better guy. And I'm so truly grateful to have got those experiences with him. And I think, yeah, like I say, everything that I've been, all the messages that I've received since and all the conversations I had that day made me realize that this podcast is actually quite appreciated. And I've had so many requests to return that I don't think I can say no. So I'm guessing this is me saying that this is going to continue. I don't know how regular yet. I'm going to try my very best to maybe continue with 2 shows a week, but maybe more. I don't know. But I think the big thing for me, and this is really in line with my approach to supporting United, or like looking at analyzing football on the whole. And I think anything I do when I continue is going to be laced with the theme that Rob and I, it's Rob's credit, obviously, but the theme that, and the tagline, I guess, that Rob came up with of never too high, never too low. And that is the one that resonates. That's the one that so many people have said to me, quoted back to me. And I think that's what people appreciate, especially, and I'm especially thinking now, and the reason why I'm back today, I was going to record on Tuesday, but I think I needed a little bit more time just to get my thoughts together. I'm seeing people melt down about United not spending 60 million on players and not overspending. And I feel like never too high, never too low at a time where United have only signed 2 players in the summer, knowing that United need a lot more if they're to compete. I feel like maybe now is the right time to come back with Man City in the Community Shield at Wembley on Saturday. I will be there as well, and United kick off their Premier League season at home to Fulham next Friday. So they are my reasons why I'm back. So this is going to be, I don't think this is going to be like a 40-minute rambling of me coming to you with, you know, a perfectly mapped out plan. I can do that. I will do that in the future, but I wanted today to be more of a, like, me speaking to you as the listener or the viewer, telling you my thoughts and outlining the plans for the future. There might be some changes, you know, but I think the thing for me is I think I'm going to fly solo for most of the time. So I hope, that I'm able to contribute enough, let's just say. I hope I'm able to be contributing enough for you to continue enjoying this podcast and to hopefully grow it as well. And hopefully I will be able to draft in friends of mine or people I like to speak to around United over the course of the next few episodes, weeks and months ahead and in the season ahead. I think that's the way that I envision it. There might be some changes. The name of the podcast, I'm even considering, is it the right name? Should I change it? There's a few like little things that I need to fix up as well with the direction of it, the look of the podcast. Look, I'm recording this in my spare office room / there's a sofa. Like, people might be wondering what that is. There's a sofa bed because I'm in my spare room in my flat in London. But I do want to level up. I just don't know how soon I'll be able to do it. But maybe if people show that there's an appetite for me to continue doing this, my confidence will grow and then I'll be like, oh, okay, maybe we will try and level this up and try and actually grow this properly. Because there's a hell of a lot of podcasts out there. And look, it's really difficult to compete with podcasts or videos that are absolutely gigantic, this kind of thing. But what I do think this podcast has offered and is very much in line with my outlook on United and football in general is I just want to go straight and narrow, a lot more measured, a lot more, it'll get raw at times, but at the same time, I think no matter all the short term difficulties that United are having in offloading players, I think we're in a much, much better position given the ownership and the structure of the club that is now in place. Probably a much better position than United have been in the last decade. I'm not necessarily saying here that everything's going to be rosy and United are going to finish second or challenge for the title next season, because I do think that there's going to be, when I say next season, this season coming now, I don't think everything's going to be fixed straight away. And I think Jim Ratcliffe was keen to say that it'll probably take 3 to 6 transfer windows or three summer transfer windows for United to actually get competing again. There's lots happening around Old Trafford. And I realize I've missed a hell of a lot of stuff that has happened over the summer so far that I probably should have touched on, but I'm sure, as you can understand, the timing wasn't really right. But these situations will crop up again. And if I'm getting back into a recording pattern and talking down the lens of a camera to you, then, or into a microphone, if you listen to this on Apple or Spotify, then I'm sure these things will crop up again. And I'll be able to talk about them as they become relevant. Now I'll establish a plan of recording. I'll try. I think my current thought process here is maybe Tuesdays and Fridays, and if I can do it post-match as well, because I'll try and do something after the City game tomorrow as well, something quite brief. I don't know how long these podcasts are going to last, but I think maybe whatever's happening will dictate at the time how much I have to say. Because sometimes, yeah, do you need to have an opinion on everything? You know, like that's kind of my approach to everything that United are doing. Sometimes I think just get on with it. And like, who am I to judge? But I know what will make me feel certain things, and I will speak on things that I'm passionate about, things that I feel like I can bring a bit of reason to. Because, look, we all live in the same modern world nowadays, and things can get blown out of proportion in Man United football terms. Let's just say that, because there are certain opinions that will be amped up and made into a much bigger situation than they are. And that's not the way that I want to run things. And that's not the way that I really think about football as well. I think having done episodes like that over the past 2, 3 years, 4 years, I think there's enough people who probably think like-minded and are probably the same and appreciate listening to that kind of thing with just a, bit of a measured tone and just something speaking some sense, I guess. And I don't want to like talk up like how much sense I speak, because I certainly get a lot of stuff wrong and I'm just a human being after all. But I feel like sometimes it's either, oh my God, this is the worst thing that I've ever seen in my life, or, oh my God, we are going to win the league, we're amazing. There's probably somewhere in the middle that is probably correct. But yeah, that's the way that I want to go. I have some notes on my screen next to me if I'm not looking down the camera lens, just trying to make sure that I don't miss anything. But yeah, like I say, I want to look ahead to the game tomorrow. I'm recording this on Friday as it stands at Wembley, and my underlying feelings on the season ahead and the transfer window. We've been going for 16 minutes or so for now, but you can, if it's your first time here watching, please subscribe to the channel. We do YouTube, Apple, and Spotify as well. We do audio and YouTube video. Hopefully there'll be some social clips to come as well, as we progress into a new season. So look, I think let's do the reason why I wanted to jump on. Like, it happened earlier this week, and I think the frustration is starting to boil over in the United sphere of, I signed Joshua Zirkzee, did that very quickly, and signed Lenny Yoro as well, which is one of the coups of the summer. I think he's going to be a really, really good player for United. I think the profile of player that he is means that when he's fit, he should hopefully progress into a really, really good centre-back. Great age, lots of potential there. If they can develop him in the right way along the lines of, Kobbie Mainoo, then we've got a hell of a good player there. But obviously everything stopped. Lenny Yoro's rocked up and played a game on preseason, broke a metatarsal. Now he's out for 3 months and you think, oh my God, it's the same thing happening over and over again. And yeah, it's difficult to kind of get your head around how much bad luck with injuries United actually have. I know people would like to blame the manager in that situation, but when you break a metatarsal bone in your foot, I mean, having not really ever suffered a major injury before, how much blame can you put on the manager there? It's not a thing. Joshua Zirkzee, hopefully we'll see him debut in the Community Shield. I've missed so much. I'm thinking here about like things that I have missed that have happened over the last weeks. Jadon Sancho's playing preseason matches in a United shirt again. I never thought that would happen. Absolutely crazy. And I know Rob and I spoke so much on our feelings on Sancho, and but I don't think either of us could have ever imagined that Ten Hag and Sancho would make up. But it appears that's the way that it's gone. And look, we will see if Jadon Sancho stays at United into the new season after the window closes, because there's meant to be some tentative interest from Paris Saint-Germain. And the thing that's holding up United in the transfer market at the moment is their inability to sell players. And I think this, combined with Manuel Ugarte and the decision they've made on him earlier this week, is that maybe the trigger that I wanted to come back and share my feelings on. Because there's a big thing, right, about wanting to win the transfer window. And if you look at in previous years. I don't have any specific data to back this up. This is just an impression. If you win the transfer window, generally, it doesn't always mean, and it rarely ever means, that you win the season, generally. It's like some kind of thought process I have, especially around United, where all the kits that United have worn over the last few years, if I really, really like it, I think that is then tainted into a bad season. I'm spitballing here, but this is just some kind of loose theory that I have. It seems like any kit that I really like on United, that United bring out, is kind of ruined because the season that they've wore it, they've really flopped or not done very well. But anyway, I'm digressing here. But look, I mean, United have signed two players. They've replaced Rafa Varane and Anthony Martial, right? Absolutely necessary. Rafa Varane's injury record was bad. Martial's was even worse. Both of those players were earning big, big wages. And for me, I think it's the right decision for both of them to leave. And they have been, their positions have been replaced. Now, Yoro is, and his injury, it's a big problem. It is, because now I think Lucho Martinez might play a part in the Community Shield, but he's not played any football yet since winning the Copa America with Argentina. He got back into preseason training at the start of this week on Monday, along with Garnacho, Kobbie Mainoo, and there was a few players that came back at that point. Luke Shaw as well. But there's even problems with Luke Shaw. Injuries again, which people are losing their heads around. And obviously, I understand. But this is the problem that United are going to have here, right? And I just wanted to scream patience, I guess. Is, look at it this way, right? You've got a new team coming into United of Ratcliffe, Brailsford, Berada. Manager stays, but you got Dan Ashworth.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Jason Wilcox. Christopher Vavell. That's a lot of people. Under Ten Hag, you've got Ruud van Nistelrooy, who's back. Absolutely amazing. Look, isn't that one for the... make you feel a little bit better. That guy scored a ton of goals. If he can impart some of that wisdom on some of United's attacking players who need help in that department, then we're on to a winner. And Rene Hake as well, new goalkeeping coach in. And lots of changes happened around the manager, but the manager is staying. So his contract has been extended by a year. He still holds power of veto over transfers, I think, which is the right way. But United have signed two players, spent the money I think that they really had. And now the problem that we're seeing, the reason why everything has slowed up, is because United are on sale to buy. That is not Ineos' fault. That is not Dan Ashworth's fault. That's not Ratcliffe's fault. It's not Brailsford's fault. It's not Vivell's fault. None of these guys should be getting flack for this, because what they're having to deal with is cleaning up the mess created by the last ownership and the last people in charge of transfers. I'm thinking your Ed Woodwards, your Richard Arnolds, your John Murters. All of these decisions that they have made in the past means that it's really, really, really difficult, unless you take some absolute god-awful hits. You know, on, look, they've taken a god awful hit on Varane himself, on Martial. Both of those players were signed for, the song about Martial is 50 million down the drain. Rafa Varane was signed for over 30 million. They were both on big wages, and both of them have left on free transfers. They will not be the only players to leave on free transfers over the next few years, I'm sure. The problem that United have is they can't sell them because the wage bill has been out of control for so long. And these are players who have been around the squad. I'm taking Aaron Wan-Bissaka's example. Casemiro, he's only been here a couple of years, but United have took him at 29, spent a hell of a lot of money on him and given him a wage, which it's just difficult to offload. And that's why no clubs are touching these players. Like, I think people thought Casemiro would end up in Saudi Arabia, but even they have pivoted, and that league have pivoted their approach to players that they sign. They're targeting younger players invariably that can grow in their league. And it might mean Casemiro stays, and he's played in preseason, and he's been dodged around, he's been dribbled around and stuff like that. And you think, oh God, are we stuck? You know, I might be, but it's so important to remember that is not the fault of the people who are trying to fix the problems created by the old people in charge. When the Glazers agreed to this part sale to Jim Ratcliffe, it was essentially suggested by them, hey, can you take over all the football operation? Because we're just going to put our hands up and go, we've got it wrong. We don't really know what we're doing. It's probably time for somebody to get United performing on the pitch. And we can't really do that. So you can come in and you see the moves that United have made already. All the structure has changed outside of the manager. All the structure has changed. And I can't believe, I'm being sarcastic here, I can't believe that they're having trouble offloading some of the players on massive wages. It's a common thing for a lot of football clubs around the Premier League, around Europe, to have players who are on massive, massive wages, who are signed for high transfer fees, that are not performing to their best, and they just can't sell them because they're on long contracts. Look, I hate making this comparison to Arsenal, but Arsenal did it a few years ago, and they had players like Mesut Ozil, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Socrates, all of these kinds of players who were on big money that weren't performing to the levels that they wanted anymore, who were probably approaching the wrong side of 30. And sometimes you just have to take big hits on them. And Arsenal cancelled the contracts with a few players and moved on. The problem with United is it's worse. United's situation is worse than that. And it will take some time to figure out and fix. It will. But what that means in the meantime is that there's not enough liquid cash available to be able to go and reinvest in players who are more able to play the style of football that Erik ten Hag wants. So we are now going into a new season asking the same questions that we were asking last season. The manager, hopefully, there's been a lot of talk about the game model. The manager will hopefully tweak some of the silly high energy tactics. I think we can look back on that and some of the performances last season and say that gap in midfield cannot exist this season. It cannot. Otherwise, Ten Hag, he's got a year plus another year. Look, if he has a terrible start, questions are going to be asked again. I do hope that they stick with him. I wanted them to stick with him. And I'm hopeful that in the end he can get it right, but this is a process that United need to go through, and it will take time. It will. They're going to try and work their magic. They're going to try and do their best in the sense of, you know, selling players that are not going to be a part of the project. But the unfortunate reality is that the players are going to be difficult to shift because they have agreed, the club have agreed in the first place to give long contracts with extensions at the end, which I even saw in the week. It was rumored that the players would get a cut of that extension, which is just insane, ridiculous. But no other clubs are going to pay, barring a few, no other clubs are going to pay the type of wages, especially in the modern day, that United have committed to the players that they have. So that makes them difficult to shift. And if these players are difficult to shift, that means that players are, or transfer deals are held up, and players are, it's difficult to bring players in who will help Erik ten Hag transition the team. There's been links this week to Sander Berge. You know, the Matthijs de Ligt deal has been on hold for what seems like a month now. Mazraoui linked as well. Hinges on Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And United are struggling to get Aaron Wan-Bissaka a new club. I think the West Ham talks have not broken down. I'm not sure where we are with that yet. But the players have every right, really, to stick and dig their heels in, because they've been given what could potentially be like life-changing money. You can judge whether they should leave to go and play football, but they, chances are, if they stick around, Aaron Wan-Bissaka is going to be used by Man United. And I don't want to pick on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because I think he has a lot of really good attributes that football clubs can use. It's just when you're trying to play the style of football that Erik ten Hag is playing, maybe those attributes don't match. So, thought dumping here, 30 minutes worth of thought dumping. But the thing that triggered me to come back is the Manuel Ugarte withdrawal earlier this week. So I'll get that into that in a second. I'm just going to take a sip of water. So the news broke, I think, Monday or Tuesday, that United, who were negotiating with Paris Saint-Germain, were going to walk away from Manuel Ugarte, who was essentially their top target in the midfield, wanted to partner him with Kobbie Mainoo. And PSG are asking for 60 million euros. PSG bought him for 60 million euros a year ago, have used him in a few matches, and then realized, hey, this guy actually isn't a good tactical fit for our team and what we want to do under Luis Enrique. So I think he lost his place in the team, and they decided pretty early on that they wanted to offload him and sell him. And they're still asking for 60 million euros. Now, in the meantime, PSG have signed for 60 million euros plus 10 million in add-ons João Neves, who is probably going to fit into their team a hell of a lot better. And I think, I look at him and I think, wow, he would have done well in United's midfield. Really, really talented young Portuguese midfielder. He'll go to PSG and their midfield will be full of really useful players who are good on the ball, tenacious. And we'll see how PSG go. Obviously, they're going through their own problems. But what United have decided on is to try and negotiate the fee down for Manuel Ugarte, and they have not succeeded, essentially. So the news came out earlier this week that they were walking away and looking at other targets. Look, people are so bothered by that, and we'll say, just pay the fee, just pay the fee. That's what United have been doing for so long. The anniversary the other day of Harry Maguire, five-year anniversary of Harry Maguire joining United, I think it was earlier this week. Do you remember that summer when United approached Leicester and they were asking or trying to do a deal for beneath Leicester's valuation? What happened in the end? United paid Leicester's valuation after wasting, essentially, a good 3-4 weeks, I would imagine, if I'm remembering rightly. They could have just paid that fee in the first place. That's the reputation that United have. I know there's different people in there, but these people who have been employed to change United's fortunes on and off the pitch are working against that reputation, and they have to fix it. And it's the same case with De Ligt and Bayern. Look, De Ligt is not getting in that team. And Bayern are holding that for a certain fee as well. And that means United have their valuation and the selling club have their valuation, and they're at stalemate. So those deals are on hold. And I just wanted to say, I think United are absolutely right to do that. And just because these players might not be in and ready for the first game at home to Fulham in the Premier League, doesn't paying that extra 10 million for the sake of one game or two games, does that make any sense to you? I mean, yes, of course, if they had them in and they had time to embed them into the tactical identity and this kind of thing, I'm sure it would help. And in an ideal world, every transfer that United wanted to make in the summer would have been done by July 1st or July 15th or August 1st, well ahead of the season. But the transfer market, as you can see, it's very, very different this summer for all clubs. There's not a lot of spending going on. Money's tight. PSR concerns are rife. And the Premier League is meant to be the richest league in the world. But even those clubs are having to really analyze where they spend their money. Most of them, anyway. And then clubs abroad, in Spain, in Italy, Atletico Madrid aside, and in France, who've been having trouble with television deals. You know, clubs abroad for years haven't been able to kind of spend the money that Premier Leagues would seek from each other, inflated transfer fees, because there's not that same money in those leagues. Atletico Madrid aside. but look, I think what United have done this summer so far, like, I can understand it's frustrating. And I can understand that everybody, like, even me included, wanted everything in place ideally for even tomorrow's game. But it's just not the way that it works out. But there is three-ish weeks of the transfer window left yet. And there's still time to fix things. But what I'm going to say, and I'll go back to what Ratcliffe has said previously in one of the interviews he's done, and I am loosely quoting him here, but I'm pretty sure he suggested that this would take a few years to fix. And I know we all demand success right away. I know we all demand amazing football right away. And ultimately, inability to sign players or offload players or transform the first team is going to hold back the coach, and it will. It's Erik ten Hag's responsibility in the meantime to maybe put aside the ideals of how he wants to play and go back to how he was doing in his first season and just looking to get results and making sure that the commitment is there and not leaving ridiculous holes in midfield that mean United are so easy to be broken down and counted on. Because if he plays the way that he was playing throughout most of last season and shows that he hasn't learned, then look, he's going to be under pressure. And I'm sure he knows that as well. But look, I think the big thing for me is be patient. We say never too high, never too low on this show, but be patient. And I think the big thing and the reason why I think I can say that is because I'll double back to the point I made earlier. I think United off the pitch are in a better place than they have been in a long, long time. It's just the results of that will be really difficult to achieve and they will take time to transition and manifest. But that's not the fault of the people who are trying to fix the problem. It's the fault of the people that made the problems in the first place. And that's my approach to this. I'm going to give them time. Look, ideally, I want United to win every game, but I know they're not going to. I know the performances are going to be difficult. But for this club to be fixed long term, you've got to take some short-term pain, and it feels like we've been going through a lot of short-term pain. And United will only be better, for me, when the players that are on big contracts that are not of use to Erik ten Hag's first team are out the door and they're replaced by people who can play the football Erik ten Hag wants to play. And I'm sure I'll be doing some season predictions into next week about how things are going. But there is still time in the transfer window yet for United to put a few things right. And hopefully the injury problems that United had last year will be a little less. I mean, suggestions from Ten Hag in his first press conference of the season in England ahead of the Community Shield. It looks like we might be getting Johnny Evans and Lisandro Martinez in as centre-backs with no Luke Shaw and Aaron Wan-Bissaka at right back, given the injuries that is Wan-Bissaka injured? I can't remember. Given all the injury problems and concerns that United do have, there's concerns over Luke Shaw. It screams same old story. But patience. They've shown that they can beat Man City, and ultimately this is only the Community Shield, so it doesn't matter in a sense, but you just don't want United going and getting ripped apart by Man City, who've shown in preseason they can score a few goals. So look, I'll be at that game tomorrow. I'll try and drop you something in the immediate aftermath of the game, whether that's from Wembley or from here where I am now. And it turns out, I think I said at the start of the show, unless it was in one of my takes that I just deleted, that I didn't think I'd end up going for 40 minutes. But there we go. I'm at 39 minutes nearly. And thought dumps, hopefully cohesive. But look, guys, I'll wrap it soon enough, but I just wanted to double back and say again, I'm going to fly solo, I think. I'm going to try and bring in guests that I feel like are friends of mine that I know or that I'd like to talk to. So maybe some things will change from time to time. But I think for me, I'm going to try and use this as a place to maybe more organized in future, but a place to dump thoughts and to just let you know how I'm feeling on United in general. Never too high, never too low. I'm going to try and bring that to you as often as I possibly can, because that's the underlying theme of this podcast. It always was, and I think I would always like it to be as well. And that was Rob's catchphrase, that was Rob's approach, and it's mine as well. So hopefully I'll be able to provide some decent content to listen to or to watch in the future as United do whatever they do in the season. But I just wanted to say again, such a massive thank you to Rob's family and friends for all of the messages that, you know, have been delivered to me or communicated to me when I've met you guys. Thank you so much. It's been truly heartwarming to, you know, meet you and to speak to you. And I hope that I continue to do the pod justice in Rob's memory as well. And thank you to everybody who's dropped me messages on social media, over email, Instagram, X, even TikTok messages I've been getting. You can follow me on all of those platforms, by the way, at @_ScottSaunders. And please keep them coming. Please keep all the comments from the last video even. Thank you so much for those. There were absolutely tons. And My big thing here is I really, 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 truly appreciate all of the support and all of the heartwarming messages that I received, and that all the money that we raised as well on that on the Just Giving link that I shared, that Rob's family set up in Rob's memory. Look, I can't express enough my gratitude for all that. And I think I've had enough requests to continue doing this that I feel like the way I come back and say thank you is by making more content like this. Well, hopefully better than this, but, you know, more organized, more structured. Maybe I'll upgrade all this behind me in the future. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll consult some friends and ask what the hell I do, because I haven't got a clue. But look, United season is starting again. Man City on Saturday at Wembley, Fulham at Old Trafford on Friday night, a week away as I record this. Just the football never stops, man. The football never stops. But we're close to a new season. We're getting into it. And I want to bring this podcast along for the ride. So hopefully you are happy that I'm doing this. And look, I'll try and bring you as much as I can. And I'll drop you updates as we go. But until next time, hopefully it'll be pretty soon before the next one. I'll try and do something after the City game, just with some thoughts on what I've seen on the mat, on the pitch and in the match. And we can go from there, and any updates for the future I will provide to you as well. But again, I may be saying this too much now. Thank you so much to everybody for listening, for watching, for your messages, and for all the support that I've been given and that Rob's family have been given over the past few weeks, because it's so massively appreciated. And I'm guessing that's it for now. Right, this has been the podcast from me, Scott. I'll see you soon, everyone. Thank you so much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.